friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Debbie and I are happy that you've joined us today. We're always humbled to know that you're listening in, praying, and considering that your time with us is a blessing and an investment for eternity. Listen, we take this call of God serious that He's put upon our life, the privileges that He has given us, the places that He has offered us to do this. We don't take it for granted, and we thank God for it. And we thank God for you. I'm glad that you've tuned in today. I've opened my Bible to the book of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 8, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, John, chapter 8. And I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture, maybe just one. I don't know. We'll just see when we get there. But share the message with you that the Lord has laid on my heart. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. I pray that it is. But before I do that, as always, Deb's got a song tuned up, ready to go. It's one of her earliest. It's one of her finest, I think. The title of it is One Touch. And friend, I'll tell you what, that's all that you'll need. He's got more than that, but just one touch will make a difference. And you enjoy the song. When Debbie's done, I'll be back with the message.
Hello, my name is Blind Man. I've been a blind man since my birth. I've never seen the beauty or the comfort of this earth. But I've heard of a man who had came from Galilee. They said he could touch these eyes, make this blind man see. One touch of the Master's hands. They said he could touch these eyes of this blinded man. He will take your soul, cleanse and make you whole, and all it takes from of His Word. But I've heard of a man who had came from Galilee. They said he could touch this heart, set this captive free.
True, just one touch. He's able to change a life, change a destiny, friend, and change you inside out. He'll touch you today. He'll touch you if you want Him to. The Word of God gives us time and time again many examples of how that Jesus touched somebody, and my, they were changed. They were changed. They were made whole. They were made complete. The book of John's Gospel, chapter 8. I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture. I just think I just think this is absolutely a marvelous truth. I've marveled. I wanted to preach this passage actually for years and years and years, and the Lord is just now today thankful to Him that He has given me, excuse me, this privilege to do. The Bible said in the book of John chapter 8, verse 45, and He said, "Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, Never man spake like this man." Never man spake like this man. I want to talk to you about this today. When the captors became captive. When the captors became captive. Now, let me set this passage of Scripture up for you, if I may. Here in the sixth chapter, the seventh chapter of the book of John, we find it the time, according to verse 2, I believe it is, the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. Jesus had been in Galilee. In fact, when this chapter begins, He was in Galilee. He was at His home. Even His brothers were still there. He had come off a great miracle, come off of a great miracle, so great that it's recorded in all four Gospels in chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000, even walked on the water. And at the end of this chapter, I'll tell you, chapter 6, that is, Jesus, boy, I'll tell you, He's amazing, is He not? He said this, He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. He said, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now in chapter 7, what's the move of this? It was the Feast of Tabernacles, and Jesus' own brothers, half-brothers actually, in the flesh were chiding Him. They were poking Him. They were prodding Him. And they were saying, "Look, you say that you want to be known. Why don't you get your clothes on and come on and go with us to Jerusalem?" And Jesus said to them, "Listen, your hour is always, but my hour is not yet come." So His brothers left, and Jesus went up just a little later. Listen, can I tell you something you already know? Jesus is always on time. He's never too early. He's never too late. He's always on time. He's not running by anybody's time clock or on anybody's schedule, but His own. And when the time is right, He'll show up and do what needs to be done. Well, when He came up, to Jerusalem, when He came to the temple, if you read the remainder of this chapter, you'll find it to be fascinating because, friend, He comes up and you know what? He tells them that He's the water of life, and you begin to look at this passage. But notice, if you will, in verse 32, this is the reason I've mentioned what comes before this or what comes to pass in this chapter. I want to get to this verse in verse 32. "The Pharisees heard, the people murmured such things concerning Him," speaking of Jesus, "and the Pharisees and chief priests sent officers to take Him out of the Sanhedrin." They sent part of their army or their soldiers, if you will. They went, no doubt, in my mind, with swords and staves, and they went in their pomp and in their circumstance. And when they got to the place where Jesus was at, when it was in that last day of the great feast, that Jesus cried, or stood and cried, and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Oh, listen, when those men sent by the Pharisees and the scribes, when those men sent from the Sanhedrin and all of their pomp and circumstances, I've already said, in their soldiers' garb, if you will, with their power and with their might and with the word backing to the Pharisees and the scribes to take Jesus captive, to put Him under arrest, to put Him in chains, if you will. When they got there, listen, those that went to be captives of Jesus, became captives of Jesus. Oh, listen, listen, friend. My, you know how He did it? He did it with His Word. Oh, I'm telling you, the power of Jesus' words is remarkable. Hey, this is the same one that we read about in the book of Genesis, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if you read on down there, verse or two, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Hey, this is the same one. This is God who was in the beginning with God, who was God. Here He was among men, dressed in flesh, robed in flesh, the Word of God fleshed out, the Word of God made incarnate, touchable, hearable, seeable. And here these men were. Oh, look, I imagine when they began to march into the temple area where Jesus was, when they began to show up, people began to shudder. They began to step out of their way. The path was made. But all when those men who came to be captors of Jesus heard Him speak with the authority that He had, with the authority of heaven, as if it were the voice of God, because it was, they became captive of His. They became captivated by His speech, captivated by His power, captivated by His presence, captivated by His person, captivated by His person, no doubt in my mind. And you know what? When they came slumbering back to those who had sent them out, they came back as empty on one hand as they went. But oh, they came back full. Their hearts was running over. Their minds were stirred. Their spirits were shaken. Oh, friend, listen. They were empty as far as what they went to get. But they came back with more than they would have ever imagined. Yeah, their hands may have been empty. No, they didn't put Jesus in chains. But oh, I'll tell you, their heart was stirred. Their mind was stirred. It was filled with questions, filled with wonder, filled with amazement at one, that peasant, they thought, and that man from Galilee, whom some said was mad, who others said, why, this is the son of Joseph the carpenter, who said, listen, he's never learned letters. How knoweth this man? How knoweth this man the law? Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus was the Word. Do you hear me? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And John goes on in verse 14 of that first chapter of his record of Jesus' life. Listen, he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus had just told us in chapter 6 that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I'll tell you, from the very time that we find any account of Jesus on planet Earth, in chapter 2 of the Gospel according to Luke, it was at a time when Joseph and Mary had brought Jesus up to Jerusalem, as their custom was. It was the time of the Passover, and all when they got ready to head back home, they supposed Jesus was in the company of their family, of those whom they had traveled with, of those who had come from Galilee to that great city, to that great festival, to that great time of rejoicing, remembering, and worshiping the very God that had delivered them out of Egypt's bondage. I'm about to get happy through the blood of a shed lamb. Thank God. But when they headed back home, supposing that Jesus had been in the company, on the second day, they found out that, wait just a minute, we can't find Him. Where is He at? Well, as you might imagine, old Joseph and Mary headed back out to Jerusalem to see what had happened to their son. And oh, when they found him, glory to God, they found him in the temple among the elders that were there, the doctors and the lawyers. And you know what he was doing? Hey, friend, he was asking questions and answering questions. And so great was his word, and so great was his wisdom, even at the age of 12 years of age. You know what the Bible says about them? Listen, that they marveled at his understanding. They were astonished at his understanding and answers, actually, is what it says. Oh, listen, no wonder these captors became a captive of Jesus. Oh, do you know the power of His Word? Do you know the power of His voice? I'll tell you what, friend, listen, it's amazing. I thought it funny, actually, in Mark chapter 12 verse 13, I believe it is, when they were still late, in the days of Jesus, when he was nearing that very hour that he had came to fulfill, that purpose for which he was designed, that place that he would die upon, that cross that he would mount, the glory to God that he would give, the salvation for mankind that he would provide. How do you know what they were doing? They were still trying to figure him out. They were still trying to, quote, catch him up in something, unquote. And you know what the Word of God says? Can I take time to turn to it? In the book of Mark, chapter 12, I believe it is verse 13, and the Bible says, "And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees of the Herodians to catch him at his words." This is where that you'll find in Matthew 22, I believe it is, this same account in a different format, when the Herodians, when the Sadducees, and when the Pharisees began to question him. Oh, listen, friend, all of them were defeated. And listen to how foolish they were. Listen to how ignorant they were. They said, "Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll send you guys out. You go ask him this question. You pay attention to his words, and surely we'll catch him up in his words." All the words Jesus said that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And oh, listen, friend, you know what they tried to do? They tried to do something that they could not do. Oh, you say, how powerful are his words, preacher? Well, I'm telling you what's the truth. The Word of God tells us, listen, do you know what his words can do? And I've got to be brief. I know I've got to be brief. Hey, listen, his words can defeat the enemy. Thank God, can defeat the devil. That's exactly right. You remember in his early part of his ministry, when he was ready to be inaugurated into his public ministry, when he was ready to be coronated into his public ministry, he came to John Baptist, who was at Jordan baptizing, and he said, "Now listen, John," he said, "you suffer it to be so." John had told him, because Jesus came to him, he said, "You come to me, but I have need to be baptized of thee." And Jesus looked at him and he said, "John, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness." And you know what? He said, "Suffer it to be so." And the Bible said, John suffered him. John baptized him. And when the Word of God tells us that he did, it tells us when he came up out of the water, as John had laid him back as if he had been laid in a grave. Hey, when he come up out of the water, the heavens opened, the Spirit descended and lit upon him in the form of a dove. And John said he heard the voice saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In the book of Mark, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, the Bible teaches us that the Spirit either led him or sent him. And I like what Mark said, or driveth him into the wilderness. You know why he had to go to the wilderness? He was to be tested. He was to be tempted. Not to prove whether or not he would or could sin. That was never in question. That was never in the balances. But he went there. Listen, friend, had to prove that he could not sin. This last Adam, where the first Adam failed, this last Adam would be tried with the lust of the flesh, with the lust of the eye, with the lust of pride. Is that what it is? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And you know what he would do? He would take the Word of God, the very Word that he gave me and you, and come out victorious over the devil himself. When the devil said, "Now look, I know you're hungry. You haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Why don't you go ahead and turn these stones into bread and to eat?" And you know what? For the first time, Jesus said, "It is written." He took him to the pinnacle of the simple temple and set him there. And he said, "Go and just cast yourself down. For hadn't he given the angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone?" And for the second time, Jesus took the sword out of the sheath and said, "It is written." Took the Word of God and defeated the enemy for the second time. Jesus took him to a high place, a mountain somewhere, and I know where some people say that it was. I don't know, but it was a high place, and there he let Jesus see all the nations of the world. He said, "Now listen, if you'll just go by the cross, I can give you these and the glory of them." And you know what Jesus did for the third time? Well, for the third time, he looked at the devil and said, "It is written, thou shalt not worship, and thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Oh, don't you know, friend, listen, that's why the captors became captive, because of the power of this living Word of God. Not only did he defeat the devil, but he defeated disease. And I've got to hurry. In Mark chapter 2, the last part of chapter 1 actually is where it's at, is it or not? Let me turn over there and find out. Yeah, it's the latter part of chapter 1. Probably my favorite miracle. My favorite. You say, why? Because I can identify with this leper that came to Jesus. Boy, he was in a bad shape. Matter of fact, listen, he was as sure as death as anything. He had a disease that was killing him from the outside in. But oh, when I met Jesus, I had a disease that was killing me, that was going from the inside out. And you know what this leper said to Jesus? You know what he asked him? He said, "Lord, if thou canst, thou can cleanse me." And you know what Jesus said? He said, "I will. Be thou cleansed." Oh, listen, sinner friend. Jesus, listen, defeated the devil. He defeated disease with his Word. And if you're sin sick, if you want to change, sir, ma'am, in your life, why don't you come to Jesus? Why don't you just ask him, "Dad, can he touch you? Will he touch you? Will he change you? Will he make a fit subject for you?" And he'll do that. Not only did, listen, he heal or cleanse the leper, but you know what he did? He released the demoniac from demons. Isn't that amazing? I love Mark chapter 5. Jesus deals with demon disease and death in that passage. And you know what the Bible says? The demoniac wasn't looking for Jesus, but all Jesus was looking for him. Everybody in that town, everybody in that place knew of this demoniac. But when Jesus got there, you know what he saw? He saw the man. He knew there was a man in the tombs. There was a man that couldn't be bound by men, couldn't be bound by fetters, couldn't be bound by chains. And oh, listen, the man, that man with an unclean spirit, with a legion of demons, you know what? He was set free. He was taken captive by Jesus and by His words. Oh, you know what Jesus is able to do to you, sir, ma'am? He's able to deliver you from that addiction. I don't care what it is. I don't care how long you've had it. I don't care what a hold it has on your life. Listen, Jesus can set you free today, and only simply because of time, I've got to get to my last point, and then of death. Isn't that amazing? Look, I'm just going to tell you quickly in chapter 5 of the book of Mark, chapter 7 of the book of Luke, chapter 11 of the book of John, Jesus did what may be the ultimate miracle. You know what He did? He defeated death. Isn't that amazing? And you know how He did it? He did it with the power of His Word. Oh, isn't that amazing? He spoke to that little girl in Mark chapter 5. That little girl, friend, listen, who was just as dead could be, took her by the hand and said, Talitha kumi. He said, arise, and she got up. There in Luke chapter 7, that briar of that widowed mother was on its way with her son, you know what, to the burial ground. And Jesus stopped and laid His hand on the briar and spoke to that man, and he sat up. And in John 11, He said, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, listen, friend, there's a power. There's a power in the Word of God. You can be taken captive today. You can be taken captives like the captors were in John chapter 8. If you'll just hear God's Word, believe God's Word, trust in God's Word, take God's Word, and let it transform you as only it can. Thank you for tuning in. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us, and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.
Stay.